of Siffin, which was considered to be one of the longest battle fought ever. It was about 100 days, they say. The reason of it being long was because of negotiation. Imam Ali alayhi salam tried his level best to negotiate with Muawiyah, who wasn't willing to surrender to the Khilafat, as he was elected or unanimously by the Muhajir and Ansar as the Khalifa and by the companions. And Imam Ali wanted, because Muawiyah was the governor of Syria, and he was supposed to come down because and give allegiance to Imam Ali alayhi salam as the Khalifa, and he did not. As Imam Ali being the Khalifa, he went to basically force him down, because he acted as if that Syria and Sham belonged to him, and he acted as a king. So therefore, this battle happened, the Battle of Siffin. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Yes.
Was that the same battle where Muawiyah ordered his soldiers to put...
If we keep calm, no talking, because it's disturbing others, please. Yeah.
Was that the same battle where Muawiyah ordered his soldiers to put verse of the Quran on their spears?
Yes, this is what eventually ended up, as the sister pointed out, to an arbitration. The battle was so long, 25,000 people being killed from Imam Ali's side, 45,000 from their side, and both of them considered to be Muslims. So therefore, finally they said that, you know, this is enough, and we would rather prefer the Quran judge us rather than these two who are fighting, these two leaders who are fighting with each other. This was a trick by Muawiyah, where he asked the people to raise the Quran on their spears, and they say that, you know, Quran be the judge. And 20,000 soldiers from the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam, they laid their arms. They said that, you know, we're not going to fight and we accept this decision. And the battle was almost over, where Malik Ashtar had reached Muawiyah, and he could have basically captured him or killed him very easily. But they caught Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they say that if Malik Ashtar doesn't return, we're going to kill Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Imam Ali have to send someone to Malik Ashtar to really ask him to come back and accept the decision which was made by his sort of army. He was forced, where Imam Ali insisted that, you know, I know Muawiyah more than you, you know, he's not going to really comply to the Quran, but still they did not listen to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali was forced for arbitration. So one person was appointed from Imam Ali's side, one person was appointed from the Muawiyah side. The person which Imam Ali appointed to be the arbitrator wasn't accepted by the people of him of his side. They said, we want someone neutral, so they sent Abu Musa Ash'ari, who was the governor of Kufa at the time of Usman. And from their side, it was Amr As. Finally, after a year or so, or some tradition says maybe after a year and a half, they came up with a decision saying that we don't want the Khalifa, so to speak. Abu Musa Ash'ari went first, and they say that we don't accept Imam Ali as the Khalifa and Muawiyah as the Khalifa either, or the governor either. We bring him down, and we will wait. We'll leave the judgment to the people to really decide who should be the Khalifa, you know. And Amr As went the next to announce his decision. He said that, see, their side, they say that Hazrat Ali is not the Khalifa. And now I accept that, you know, Muawiyah to be the Khalifa. And people were shocked. Abu Musa Ash'ari, he himself was shocked. And then he called, he says, curse on you, you liar. And they started fighting each other. And Imam Ali alayhi salam did not accept this arbitration, because it wasn't based on the Quran, which was the condition of the arbitration, that it should be based on the Quran and Sunnah. It went against that. And finally, Imam Ali, after this, prepared people to once again go to Sham to fight against Muawiyah. But as they were returning from the battle, because already there was a conflict, 20,000 said that, yes, we accept the Quran. The rest of the people were saying, no, you know, we should fight. And they got upset that, why did you lay arms? Why did you accept arbitration? And these people became the Khawarij. You know. And finally, when they were returning back, they, you know, basically cut themselves or separated themselves from Imam Ali, and they stationed themselves about, you know, 20 miles from Basra in a town, and they lived there and they dwelt there, and then those who were from Basra, who were against Imam Ali alayhi salam from before, they joined them as well, and they propagated against Imam Ali. They only believed in, you know, whatever the hukum is, hukum of the Quran. We don't have any Khalifa anymore because Imam Ali have done a big sin by accepting the arbitration, and by basically, there were certain points which they mentioned, the reason that they want to fight against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Number one is that Imam Ali did not allow to do the Baitul Ma, the war spoils to be distributed in Jamal. Because the Battle of Jamal was won by Imam Ali, and the people who were against Imam Ali in Jamal were, you know, Muslims, and Imam Ali did not want to take the women and children who were Muslim as slaves, which used to happen, you know, when during the battles of Islam, when Prophet used to fight. So the people of Khawarij, you know, the people of Qura, basically they say that we don't want, Imam Ali alayhi salam did not do that, so we are against him. Then he said Imam Ali alayhi salam accepted the arbitration, which was once again against, you know, the Quran, was against the Khilafat, because he was the Khalifa, he shouldn't have. Then it was where Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, take his name out as Amirul Mumineen, you know, and that is why we would not accept him, because he himself said that he is not, unless or until Imam Ali does tawbah, you know, he seek forgiveness, then we will come and help Imam Ali to fight Muawiyah. Imam Ali Islam tried his level best by sending, you know, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, other companions to the extent that he himself came and spoke to them and explained them that what you're saying, there is no hukum but the hukum of Allah. You know, that was the slogan, La hukma illa lillah. That was their slogan they had, you know, the hukum of Quran. We're going to decide everything by the Quran. Still, Imam Ali, they did not pay any heed. They did not pay any ear to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And to the extent that Imam Ali said, fine, you know, and he was going towards Syria. The news comes to Imam Ali that the governor of Nahrawan, who was slain and killed by the Khawarij, you know, because they were stationed in Nahrawan, and the governor of Nahrawan was a very pious person called Abdullah ibn Khabbab. Now, imagine that Imam Ali with his troops going for a battle, and you have about 2,000 of men, and maybe some have joined them from Basra. All of a sudden, kills the governor of that city, Nahrawan, and not only killed him, but killed his maid, and killed the child which was, you know, she was bearing, and three other women. The news comes to Imam Ali. He said, it's basically people are revolting, and the possibility of them attacking the Kufa exist. You know, if Imam Ali is engaged in battle in Sham with Muawiyah, what will happen if he loses Kufa, if something they do in Kufa? Because the mentality they had was so rigid, you know, that is like, for example, There was a person who was walking on the street. This is very famous. He picks up the date and he eats it. The people who were around, they caught him. They said, no, you know, this is haram what you have done. You know, how do you know that you have the permission of the person that these dates belong to? So you should be whipped for that. So they brought him, they whipped him. And they were really simple-minded people, but very rigid. They had the marks of the sajda on their foreheads. And they said that everything is with the Quran. There is no leadership. There is no khilafat. We accept the Quran. However, within themselves, they had a leader called, Abdul Wahab. There was a person who was a leader. But in generally speaking, they rejected the khilafat. They rejected any form of leadership. So this all of a sudden happened. So Imam Ali alayhi salam was shocked to really hear that they have gone to that extent. You know, Imam Ali allowed them to really live there freely and whatever they were practicing, and send their, you know, his messages and try to kind of guide them, but they went to the extent of killing, you know, an innocent person. This they made Imam Ali alayhi salam really furious. You know, he returned back with all his forces that were going. So instead of going westward, he turned eastwards, you know, crossing the Furat. You know, he comes to the place called Nahrawan. As he camped outside, you know, he sent a messenger to them, and he says that whoever have killed Abdullah ibn Khabbab, he should move forward, or they should surrender him, they should give him, so that there be hukum, so that there be a verdict carried out, because innocent blood have been killed, you know, and it is the Islamic sort of khilafat. It is the question of this Imam Ali being the Khalifa, and he has to carry out the judgment. So he asked for that, you know, you give them, because it was from them. They say that, you know, we all are responsible. You know, it is not one person or two person, you know, who have done this. We all are responsible for doing that, and we would like to we would not surrender whoever have done it. And as they were against Imam Ali, you know, as they were against Imam Ali from the very beginning, you know, they were very instrumental, in terms of, fighting the false claim prophets during the time of Abu Bakr and also during the time of Umar, you know. And they went against Uthman because Uthman stopped their monthly sort of money that they were given them. Decrease that to their soldiers to, you know, protect the land from 3,000 to 250, for instance, and they were really upset with it. So they went against Uthman as well. They had a hand in killing of the third Khalifa as well, and they were with Imam Ali alayhi salam just because they were afraid that they will be crushed by Muawiyah, they will be killed by Muawiyah, because Muawiyah is fighting Imam Ali alayhi salam with the incentive of taking revenge of the third Khalifa. So they were very opportunist. They were very sort of against Imam Ali alayhi salam. They did not have that faith and belief from the very beginning. So they said that we're not going to surrender, and they attacked. You know, it was them who attacked the army of Imam Ali, and the battle started. Imam Ali, right from the very beginning, when he started marching towards Nahrawan, he had, once again, as he had promised, that if you all help me, we'll come over Muawiyah before Siffin. He has mentioned that before Jamal as well, before Siffin as well. He kind of, you know, informed that we will be victorious. Before Nahrawan, he said the same thing. Sending this message, fine, you don't want to surrender these people, you want to come, you know, to a battle, you want to fight, I would even, you know, provide amnesty to those, for example, who would come under the banner where they put Imam Ali alayhi salam placed a banner with Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. You know, he is the one who came with the banner. Whoever comes under this banner or separates from the party or goes to Kufa, it's amnesty for them. So that was also announced. The opportunity was given. Many defected, you know, from them. They came under the banner. They, you know, left them. But some of them were very sort of rigid, staunch believers of them, of their sort of ideology. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says that I am warning you that you will be killed. You know, It was very clear. Imam Ali said that each and every one, there were about 2,000, you know, some say, report says 1,800. He says that you will be killed. I'm warning you that you will be killed on the bend of this canal and on the level of this low area, while you will have no clear excuse before Allah, nor any open authority with you. You have come out of your houses and then divine decree entangled you. I had advised you against this arbitration, but you rejected my advice like adversaries and opponents till I turned my ideas in the direction of your wishes. Imam Ali had warned against, once again, arbitration. Like we said, they did not listen. And you are a group whose heads are devoid of wit and intelligence. May you have no father. I have not put you in any calamity nor wished you harm. You know, it is something that you have brought this on your own self. He was enraged. You know, after so many things, you know, after not going against arbitration, he is being forced to accept arbitration. Now these people have gone against arbitration, and you know, they are rejecting that. They did not support him against you know, fulfilling and completing the battle as well. And finally, now they are not willing to listen to him, to hand the killers of you know, the Khalid, of the governor. Now finally, after that, the battle started, and all of them were killed except, you know, few, you know, seven or four, and they flee, and they fled to Makkah after that, which eventually leads to the Shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll stop here a bit for any questions or anything that you would like to add, and then we'll continue after that. Yes. It was symbolic, as in, for if they be killed, the Quran will fall on the ground. That's disrespectful. And the other is, you know, Quran is, they are raising the Quran, saying that we want the verdict from the Quran. You know. And finally, as there were groups of people, many, you know, were just there because of their chieftains, that they were they wanted to join, like Abu Musa Ash'ari, Ash'as, Ibn Masud, who were with Imam Ali. And finally, when they saw the Quran, and Quran being so respectful, and they say that this makes sense, and so many people been killed, you know, for no reason. And also, like we said, there was a rumor, or the speech of Ash'as, which says that this way the whole Arab race will be killed if we keep on, you know, prolonging this battle, if we keep on fighting. So finally, let's surrender to the Quran and let the hukum of the Quran be accepted. Yes.
He said something earlier about an hour ago.
Yes.
They were upset because of the situation of not being able to get spoiled, or the situation of how spoils are distributed. What was the case in this?
They helped, or they were with Imam Ali alayhi salam in Jamal, you know, the first battle, the first fitna, the first battle which was fought, the Khawarij. You know, the roots of Khawarij were, they were the people of Qura, you know, that was an area, or they were the people who dwell in Iraq, and they were supported by the first and second Khalifa. A great amount of stipends was given to them compared to others. It was more given to them, and they were very instrumental in defeating these false prophets who came in that area. And all of a sudden, the third Khalifa cuts their stipends to normal, which is given to. So they went against, you know, the third Khalifa, and they came to Medina to plot and to kill the third Khalifa because of what was going on. So they were upset. So that's one. So when they killed, when they had a hand in killing the third Khalifa, they joined Imam Ali alayhi salam because there is a group of people who wanted to take revenge of the third Khalifa from Imam Ali alayhi salam. So they said that if it's better that to support Imam Ali, then we will be killed if they win and if they take revenge. After the battle of Jamal, obviously after every battle you have spoils of war. But Imam Ali said that, you know, the spoils of war will not be distributed the way it used to be, because this war have been fought with people who are Muslims. Their women and children are respectful. Rather than they even, some reports say that even the blood money was given, you know, to the people who were killed, you know, because of this sort of fitna that it was there. So they were upset with that, because the spoils of war was not distributed. You know, they were after that in a way.
What was the case of the spoils of war during the earlier battle?
That was distributed when the Prophet was there. Obviously, that was equally distributed among the companions or those who have gone to war with the Prophet.
I think maybe the brother was asking about Jamal, as to what happened in Jamal, the spoils in Jamal.
They did not it wasn't distributed. Yeah, the spoils of Jamal. The women and children, for example, which of the people who were killed, for instance. No. If they conquer the whole city and it's usually taken as captives and taken as, you know, they are sold or they are given as slaves.
As long as they are not Muslim.
As long as they are not Muslim, yeah. Yes.
Would it be fair to say then that from the very beginning the Khawarij were after money? Like even their opposition to the third Khalifa was
because
based
of
on money.
Based on that, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then their opposition to the Muslim after Jamal was based on money.
Right, right.
So if they're so materially driven and it's obvious, then why would Abdul Mumin accept their support in Jamal? Why would he just say, like, you guys are not trustworthy, I don't want you?
Yes. I mean, it's just they were Muslims. You know, they pronounce the Kalima and they were there as in support, and they have given bayah to Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Is that really true? They were materialistic. Because Imam Ali said, if I was not the one to approve these guys, because they were apparently so pious
in terms, yeah, they had this very.
and even while fighting, they were showing so much courage, because they were fighting for Jannah, right? And there were wounds, and they were losing limbs and whatnot, and even they were fighting then. But they were not realistic
as
such, by the looks of it.
Yeah. Those who were the heads of different groups, maybe they might have been, have that sort of desire of dunya. But the people in general, at large, they were very, very simple in terms of their ideology and willing to give their life, yes. That seems to
almost like ISIS leadership versus their fighting.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Two questions. One question is, didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't he warn before about the Khawarji when he was alive? And the second question would be, had the Khawarjiks, had they supported Hadrat Ali alayhi salam, would they have eventually been able to defeat Muawiyah?
The second part was that if the Khawarij were...
If they would have instead decided to support Imam Ali alayhi salam, would they eventually have been able to defeat Muawiyah?
They came in the first, in Siffin, along with him. Then in the second, if they would have come, obviously, as Imam Ali have said that, you know, it's I promise a victory. But they did not. Because to prepare people for battle wasn't easy.
Right.
You know, especially after two battles amongst Muslim, you know, the enemy is not, someone who is a non-Muslim. And so many people being killed. within short period of time. And after this battle of Nahrawan, Imam Ali once again wanted to go to Syria. He was preparing, but people were just bringing reasons, you know, were not really willing to go with Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Just for the sake of kids, could you explain Khawarij as a term?
Khawarij means that those who have gone outside, you know, it comes from Khuruj in Arabic, which means exit, you know. As Khawarij is a plural, you know, as the group of these people, they have gone outside the parameters or the belief system of Islam. You know, they have rejected the Khalifa, and not only rejected it, but they have raised arms and they talk against him and they hate him, you know. And those who hate the Khalifa and the Imams, if we would say as of today, if you want to use the same term, they are known as Nasibi, they are known as non-believers, you know. Although they might look like Muslims, they might even pray, but they hold animosity against Ahl-e Bayt, against the Imams, and they call, you know, bad names to the Imam. In the Imams, then they will be known as Nawasib. They will be considered as someone who have gone outside Deen.
So, Mullah,
yes.
Did Rasulullah give an indication?
Yes. Yeah. The question, the first one, obviously, Imam Rasul pointed out to the whole unfolding of the Islamic history till the 12th, obviously, right? The names he has given of the names of the Imams as well, who will be the, and of Imam Hussein, you know, what will happen. Because the chieftains, I would say, or the leaders, the tribal leaders and the companions, they reflected their nations, they reflected their tribes, their chemistry, sort of their substance and their ideology, their personality reflected in them. And then as the Prophet, he knows the way the people are questioning him, the way people believe him, on what level they believe him. Based on that, Prophet will really see the future. You know, if we don't want to really, get into if you want to go outside the belief system and say that, you know, that's why the Prophet was able to say that. As we believe, as we believe that he is the Prophet and he knows the future, we would say that, okay, fine. But in reality, you know, if we want to go outside and see the whole situation, because that person reflects what sort of generation, what sort of tribe he comes from and the qualities in that tribe, the Prophet would say that, you know, this man is the one, even if the deen goes to the Mars, to another planet, for example, they will bring Islam from that planet to this earth. Salman Farsi, for example. Because the darajat, the 10th level of Iman, you know, as he was at. So that's how Prophet knows the future. But as we believe him, yes. You know, as a prophet, he knows everything is clear to him. You know,
he indicated the recoming or second coming of Khawarij as well.
Imam Ali alayhi salam. Anyway, they tend to use which now they are saying is the present situation where they have returned back and. Before the coming of the Mahdi, they will come back again. The same mentality of the Khawarij that the brother pointed out to as ISIS right now, who wants to claim the Khilafat, establish the Khilafat, the Islamic State, you know, Islamic rules, very rigid, without thinking, you know. So this is a sign of the Prophet that he has mentioned. Yes.
You say that the Khawarij, they didn't want Khalifate, right? They didn't actively
Yes.
Want that kind of government.
Yeah.
So
but can we really say that these people are the Khawarij, are you saying?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the same, you know, mentality of that hukum, the rule should be of. Yeah. But we are saying that perhaps that's what, it, you know, the signs are saying, but we don't know it for sure or not. And we don't even know, for example, in terms of they are or not, how authentic the hadith could be taken, that the Prophet have even mentioned that as well. Yeah. Yes, Agai Gul. Yes.
This is the cigarette and stuff. What is the cigarette? He kept them.
Yes.
On the side, and sometimes he treat them as well as he treat the others.
Yes.
What did the cigarette do? He was aware and was clear here. Why?
That's the beauty of the Prophet and the beauty of the Maktaba of Ahl Bayt and of the Imams, that they treated all of them, you know, all human beings equally, and they tried their level best till the last second of their life that they be saved. Because the Prophet and the Imams are representative of insaniyat, of humanity. They are representative of insan. So the life of insan must be saved, no matter what. Even, yeah, as the brother is saying, you know, Shimmer and Yazid and all of these people, that they will do their best. Even if they be killed, they will do their best to save them. Because this is reflected in the Quran as well, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa alayhi salam, you know, when you go to Fir'aun, be very kind, be very, very, be soft spoken when you speak to Fir'aun. Fir'aun is like, you know, the takab, you know, ana rabbakum al-a'la, right? But still, and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave chances to Fir'aun over and over again, one after the other, you know. But still Fir'aun did not listen. So the reflection of divine, the reflection of God in the representatives of the God must be there. That is why the Imams are known as the minarets of mercy. In Ziyarat-e-Jami'ah we recite, you know, wa manaur rahman, right? And Imam Hussein says that I am crying, not because for himself or what is, you know, happening to him, but for them. You know, he is crying for the enemies. You know, he's crying for them. Right? So that, you know, why are they really doing this? They shouldn't be doing this.
One of the follow-up to Brother Majid's question, could we also say that that's a more spiritual answer for sure? But at a more material level, the Aimah alayhi wasalam or Prophet did not administer their authority based on divine knowledge, rather based on apparent situation. And that could be another possible explanation. Is that reasonable to say?
Yes, this is a quite important answer, because, you know, as Agha Majidi, you were saying that, you know, they were respecting, they sat together, they ate together. And these people were, you know, were coming to the Prophet and showed themselves as Muslims. You know, they did not, show any signs in front of the Prophet, at least, that they are enemies, right? And the Prophet judges them according to the apparent behavior and laws. And the Prophet will not act according to the divine knowledge that the Prophet have. That is why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, if you know that Ibn Muljim is your killer, so why don't you kill him before? So Imam Ali says he hasn't committed the act yet that Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, do qisas or do anything. You know, like Shimmer was attending the classes of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Shimmer, you know, in Kufa was attending the classes of Imam Ali, and Imam Ali said that you will be the one who is responsible, who will kill my son, you know, but what can be done, you know. And there are a couple of very important miracles, karamat, seen by the people during the Battle of Siffin, you know, as they were approaching or as they were returning back. One of them was Karbala. Imam Ali passed through Karbala and he stopped there, and he mentioned about Karbala and what will happen in Karbala. And some of the companions who were with Imam Ali alayhi salam, some of the companions who were with Imam Ali alayhi salam were shocked, were kind of like, what is he talking about? Because the riwayat says that he picks up the sand of Karbala and he says that there will be souls, pure souls will be buried here, you know. And he cried, and he mentioned that why, they asked him why is he crying, and he said there will be a battle. And one of the companion or one of the person who came with Imam Ali alayhi salam with him on the day of Karbala was present at the side of Yazid. He, after this, when Imam Ali told him that this is what will happen, he went back home and he told his wife. I'm trying to recall his name. Then his wife said that, you know, he was laughing. He was saying, you know, this is what he's talking about. You know, that was one of the problem of the people, that it was very difficult to really come to terms with Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, because of their lack of understanding, their jahalat and their spirituality, and their arrogance that they had in them. So the wife said that, you know, do astaghfar, you know, it will happen what he has said, believe in it. And then on the plain of Ashura, it exactly happened, you know, the same way. Then he recalled that hadith that Imam Ali have mentioned once, that where is this place, he asked, he said, this is Karbala. Oh, this is the place where Imam Ali stopped, you know, while coming back from Siffin, and he had mentioned this, and this is what it is happening. So then and there, from the side of Yazid, he gallops towards Imam Hussein, and he asked him that if this is what the hadith which your father have mentioned. He said yes. Then Imam Hussein asked him, so what is your stand? He said, I'm leaving. You know, he said, will you join me? He said, no, I will leave. I will not fight against you, but I will leave. So he did not join, Imam Hussein. He left. At least he did not fight with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But like Imam Hussein always invited each and every soul, you know, towards Haqq. It was quite important. And he says that go far where you cannot hear me. Because if you hear me, and if you hear my call, and if you do not answer, then you will be in trouble. So he sort of ran away from the battle that was taking place. So the other thing was the miracle of the rock, and the Christian monk, who in his books read that the last prophet's messenger, or the last prophet's successor will be the one who would provide water in that sort of village, and he has stationed himself near that place to really meet that person. You know, that person is the one who is considered to be the saint of God, or the pious person to save the humanity, so on and so forth. With whatever belief he had, he has stationed himself there based on that tradition. And it happened to be that they were trying to provide water for the troops, and there was this big rock, and it was not allowing them. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, he went there and he lifted that. You know, there were many people who were trying to lift it. And when he lifted it, there was, you know, water fountain came out of it. And this Christian person, he converted to Islam and accepted Imam Ali, you know, as the Imam. So there were these type of things also happened during this sort of course of battles that took place.